All right, well, tonight we resume our verse-by-verse study of the prophet Isaiah, the prince of the prophets as he has been called. Isaiah, more than any other inspired writer of the Old Testament, speaks more about the Messiah than any other in the Old Testament era. And we have been looking at a particular section in Isaiah where God issues ten burdens and judgments against the nation of Israel. 10 oracles or burdens of judgment against the nations surrounding Israel and including Judah itself, the southern kingdom of Israel. And tonight we look at Isaiah chapter 23. Where the last and tenth nation singled out for God's judgment is given. And that nation, or rather city, I should say, was a great coastal city of maritime splendor and wealth. And that city was Tyre. T-Y-R-E. Not pronounced Tyree, but Tyre. Tyre was a major city of the ancient Phoenicians, and we'll get into the history and the background of the Phoenician civilization, a highly advanced maritime civilization of the ancient world. Some would say the most advanced when it came to seafaring and maritime and naval activities. This is the tenth nation. Now remember, the burden of judgment that God was going to execute on the nations through the prophetic decrees of his spokesman Isaiah began in Isaiah 13. And it goes all the way to chapter 23. 10 nations were going to find themselves under the judgment of God. And they were Ammon, Babylon, Damascus, Edom, Egypt, Moab, Philistia, Tyre, which is under present consideration tonight, Cush, and Judah. And the lesson that we glean from the plight of Tyre and the reason why God brought judgment on them was because of their great pride. And also mistreatment of Israel. You see a common theme running here why God brought judgment on these ten nations was because how they treated his people Israel, the Jewish people. And so this great seaport city had amassed tremendous wealth due to their ships going out and carrying all types of cargo to the cities within the Mediterranean basin, stretching from Egypt all the way to Tarshish, which was in Spain. Their whole maritime empire covered that whole area in and around the Mediterranean basin. And tonight we learn that Tyre is a historical picture of the fact that those who exalt themselves by pride will surely be abased by God. Those who exalt themselves by pride will surely be abased by God. Now let's talk about the historical background of Tyre, the Phoenician city of Tyre. Tyre was considered queen of the seas, much like the British Empire in modern history was considered the empress of the seas. In the ancient Near East, Tyre was considered the same. It was an island city of unprecedented splendor. Absolutely breathtaking. One of the greatest ancient coastal resort cities of world history. Tyre grew wealthy, exceedingly wealthy, from her far-reaching colonies and her industries of purple dyed textiles. And this purple dye was produced from the Murex shellfish, known as Tyrian purple. This purple dye was important because in many cultures of ancient times, this dye was reserved for the use of royalty, or at least nobility. This was true all the way up to the Roman Empire, whose senators would wear a purple cloak or have a white toga with a purple stripe going down to signify their royalty and nobility. But Tyre also attracted, with her great maritime wealth, she also attracted the attention of greedy conquerors, among them Babylon, with King Nebuchadnezzar, and later, in the 4th century BC, Alexander the Great. And so Tyre was a city located today, or located where the modern-day city, Lebanon city of Sur currently is. Tyre originally consisted of two districts, urban centers, which one was on land and another one was off an island, a resort island, some 500 yards out from sea, from the land. And so Alexander the Great was the only conqueror who completely laid waste to Tyre on the land and Tyre the island resort city 500 yards from the land. And he did this by building a causeway from land to the island resort city, a causeway, when he laid siege to the island city for about 7 months. The original island city had two harbors, one on the south, the other on the north side of the island. It was these two harbors that enabled Tyre to gain the maritime prominence that it did. The harbor on the north side of the island was, in fact, one of the best harbors on the eastern end of the Mediterranean. The harbor on the south side, although has been silted over during the long passage of centuries, but the harbor on the north side till this day is still in use in modern Lebanon. In ancient times, the island city of Tyre was heavily fortified with defensive walls towering to 150 feet high. And the mainline settlement, originally called Ushu, was actually more like a line of suburbs than any one city and was used primarily as a source of water and timber for the main island city. Josephus, the ancient Jewish historian of the first century, tells us that the two, that is Tyre on land and the island city of Tyre, fought against each other from time to time, although most of the time they supported one another because they both benefited from the island city's tremendous wealth from maritime trade and the mainland area's source of timber, water, and burial grounds. Tyre, the city of Tyre, has existed for 5,000 years of history. Founded at the start of the 3rd millennium BC, Tyre originally consisted of a mainland settlement and a modest island city that lay a short distance offshore, as I mentioned earlier. But it was not until the 1st millennium BC that the city experienced its golden age. And in the 10th century BC, King Hiram of Tyre joined two islets by landfill. Later, he extended the city further by reclaiming a considerable area from the sea. And it was he who had a most productive relationship with King David, and in fact helped King David build his palace made of cedars imported from Phoenicia or modern day Lebanon, the cedars of Lebanon. It was the Phoenicians from Tyre and Sidon, both twin cities, who also colonized and founded the great city Carthage in North Africa. Eventually, the Phoenicians from Tyre and Sidon and that whole area, eventually they spread colonies throughout the Mediterranean and Atlantic, bringing to the city a flourishing maritime trade. But prosperity and power, as you know, make their own enemies. And early in the 6th century BC, Nebuchadnezzar laid siege to the walled city for 13 years. But Tyre stood firm. At this time, the residents on the mainland city abandoned it for the safety of the island. Then in 332 BC, Alexander the Great set out to conquer this strategic coast base in his war against the Persians. Unable to storm the island city, obviously because of the water, he blockaded Tyre for 7 months and built a causeway from the debris of the abandoned mainland city. And once within the reach of the city walls, Alexander used his siege engines to mercilessly batter and finally breach 150-foot walls of Tyre. It is said that Alexander was so enraged at the Tyrians' defense and the loss of his men that he destroyed half of the city. The town's 30,000 inhabitants were massacred or sold into slavery. Tyre and the whole of ancient Phoenicia became the province of Syria and fell under Roman rule in 64 BC and ceased to exist. So, and this brings us to Isaiah's prophecy against Tyre. And let me say that Tyre was known for its maritime power. The commerce of the ancient world was gathered, we are told, into the warehouse of Tyre. In fact, Isaiah almost quotes this very thing that a historian said about Tyre. One historian tells us that merchants from Tyre were the first who ventured to navigate the Mediterranean waters, and they founded their colonies on the coast and neighboring islands of the Aegean Sea. In Greece, on the northern coast of Africa, at Carthage and other places, in Sicily, Cyprus, Corsica, and in Spain at Tartessus, which the Bible calls Tarshish, in Isaiah 23. Tyre was exposed to the truth about the existence of the one true God, Yahweh. Because in the time of King David, a friendly alliance, as I had mentioned earlier, was entered between the kingdoms of Israel and Tyre, which was ruled by Hiram the First. And so Tyre enjoyed a rich and lavish maritime history. Later in history, in the New Testament, the Lord Jesus visited the coasts of Tyre and Sidon, as we are told in Matthew 15:21. And from this region, many came forth to hear Jesus preach, as the gospel accounts tell us in Mark 3:8, Luke 6:17. In Matthew 11:21 and 23. In Acts 21:3-6, Luke tells us that a church was founded in Tyre, and Paul stopped there on his way to Jerusalem and spent a week with the believers there. And so Tyre has a rich history. And now we want to look at our text in Isaiah 23 concerning the judgment on ancient Tyre. And we'll not only confine our study about God's judgment on Tyre, we're not going to confine it just to Isaiah 23, but with comparing it with other portions of Scripture among the prophets in the Old Testament where Tyre is also mentioned. I hope to give you a complete picture of why God was going to bring such a severe and horrible judgment on this city. And so, before we do that, the sin that seems to be the most besetting concerning Tyre in Isaiah 23 was pride. Pride is one of the seven sins God hates, according to Proverbs 6:17. We all struggle with pride. If you tell me you don't struggle with pride, that is a prideful statement. Moses was the only man who could get away with saying he was the most meekest or gentlest on the earth, because he was riding under the inspiration of Ruach HaKodesh. If he had just said that on his own, that would have been a prideful statement. Paradox is, you can take pride in your own ability not to be prideful. But all throughout Scripture, God despises sinful pride. Isaiah 23, as personified by the inhabitants of Tyre, is just another proof of that. Now, there is a legitimate pride when one takes pride in the gifts God has given him and the accomplishments he does to the glory of God. You can certainly take pride in that. That's a positive kind of pride that develops a healthy personality and a productive, fruitful life for the Lord and for your fellow man. All people should esteem themselves as made in the image of God. You should take a positive pride in that kind of thing. But don't let that pride become expressed too highly. For every person has weaknesses that must be acknowledged in order to strengthen them. An unacknowledged weakness will grow into a greater weakness. And the greater a weakness is, the more it will eat away at a person's strength. For this reason, we must never walk around arrogantly exalting ourselves and denying our weaknesses. Those in Tyre teach us that pride that always looks at ourselves, always thinks of our own affairs, leads to being self-centered. When we are considering ourselves more important than others, then pride has entered in. To avoid this, we must give attention to the welfare and concern of others, walking humbly among others, acknowledging them as important to God and to our society. Being friendly with them pleases the Lord and is a good antidote to pride. No matter what our social position in life, no matter where we live or how much money we make, we are to acknowledge the dignity of all human beings. The minute we start looking at our position in life as being better than others, the minute we start congratulating ourselves for making more money than the less fortunate, then there develops a prideful attitude that creates the illusion that we're better than someone else. And this pride can even rear its ugly head in the church through spiritual pride. I'm saved and they're not. I'm so much better than they are. And you become like the Pharisee that Jesus talked about, in contrast to the publican. I thank God that I'm not like other sinners, like this person over here. Lord, I fast twice a week and so forth and so on. Today it would be translated into, I go to church whenever the doors are open. I read my Bible an hour a day. I pray three times a day. And this unsaved person or this struggling Christian, they're not even attempting to try to serve you with every breath that they breathe. However, I am. That's pride couched in religious lingo. So there's religious pride, there's secular pride, there's all types of pride. Every human being, we must remember, no matter how awful they may be, is a living person with an immortal soul that is important to God. Even the most wretched human being Christ died for. That's hard to remember when you look into the satanic visage of someone like Adolf Hitler or Saddam Hussein or Yasser Arafat or Osama bin Laden. We are to take an interest and care for our fellow human beings. To esteem ourselves more highly than anyone else is sinful pride, and God hates it. He despises it. It was by pride that Satan fell. He thought he could replace God by becoming a new God. And through that pride and self-vanity, he fell into sin. And through the pride of Adam and Eve, who thought they could be like God if they disobeyed him at the suggestion of the serpent, they too sinned out of pride. And here in Isaiah 23, sinful pride was the great offense of the ancient city of Tyre. In the days of Isaiah the prophet, Tyre was already a well-established, wealthy, and maritime city and civilization. Up to Isaiah's day, the city of Tyre had already existed. Are you ready for this? It had already existed for 2,000 years. When the Lord Jesus was born, Tyre was almost 3,000 years old. And God spared judging it for over 2,000 years. And then suddenly Isaiah and the prophets preached against it, after it had already existed for almost 2,000 years. And then the full judgment didn't come upon Tyre until about 400 years later, when Alexander the Great conquered the city, depopulated its inhabitants, killed them or sold them into slavery. Why do I mention the longevity here? To show you that God is exceedingly long-suffering and merciful with the wicked. If it were up to me, we'd all be charred by now. But not so with the Lord. He is long-suffering. And His mercies are new every morning. And He is not willing that any should perish. And as Peter tells us. And then Peter goes on to say that the long-suffering of the Lord is accounted as salvation, because it gives the unbeliever and the sinner an opportunity to turn and find salvation and pardon and life with God forever. So we are kind of parallel with Isaiah's day and the 2,000-year-old city of Tyre. We have now lived in the present church age for 2,000 years. And yet God has not poured out His apocalyptic judgment on the world, because He's still waiting for sinners to come to salvation in His Son, Jesus Christ. And He knows how horrible that judgment's going to be, and the eternal reality of hell after. So that's why He is forestalling His judgment. But rest assured, beloved, that judgment is coming, just as it was going to come on the city of Tyre. For their prideful indulgence and self-sufficiency, Tyre was a great commercial and shipping center, one of the major market cities of the ancient classical world. David had a good relationship with the Phoenicians in the person of their king, King Hiram, ruler of Tyre, which lay only about a little over 100 miles north of Jerusalem. Because of the city's excellent seaport, the best quality materials were shipped there from all over the world. Lumber, the precious purple dye I mentioned, textiles, and all types of seafood. Because of the city's excellent seaport, Tyre enjoyed immense wealth. And one of the most notorious persons in all of Scripture came out of Tyre. This person almost proved the spiritual destruction of Israel. And that person is the notorious Queen Jezebel. She was a Phoenician. And she was the daughter of the king of Tyre, the twin of Sidon. Sorry, she was the daughter of the king of Sidon, the twin city of Tyre, much like Minneapolis and St. Paul are twin cities. So is Tyre and Sidon in a way. Even though Sidon is located about 25 miles north of Tyre. So here in the present scripture that lays before us in Isaiah 23, God pronounces judgment on Tyre through the oracle of the prophetic oracle of Isaiah. And so I want to look at this oracle now. And we'll start in verse 1, going to verse 9 of Isaiah 23. The burden against Tyre, wail, you ships of Tarshish, for it is laid waste, so that there is no house, no harbor. From the land of Cyprus it is revealed to them. Be still, you inhabitants of the coastlands, you merchants of Sidon, whom those who cross the sea have filled, and on great waters the grain of Shehor. The harvest of the river is her revenue, and she is a marketplace for the nations. Be ashamed, O Sidon, for the sea has spoken, the strength of the sea, saying, I do not labor nor bring forth children. Neither do I rear young men nor bring up virgins. When the report reaches Egypt, they also will be in agony at the report of Tyre. That is their destruction of Tyre. Cross over to Tarshish. Well, you inhabitants of the coastland, is this your joyous city, whose antiquity is from ancient days? And as I said, at the writing of this by Isaiah, Tyre was already 2,000 years old. He goes on to say about this ancient city, whose feet carried her far off to dwell, who has taken this counsel against Tyre, the crowning city, whose merchants are princes, whose traders are the honorable of the earth. The Lord of hosts has purposed it to bring to dishonor the pride of all glory, to bring into contempt the honorable of the earth. So Tyre here is being singled out by the Lord as He is going to bring judgment on her. And Tyre is the historical picture of pride being humbled by God. Tyre is the historical picture of pride being humbled and God being exalted by His judgment of their or her abasement. So a lot is going on in this chapter. The oracle against Tyre completes the series of 10 messages from God through Isaiah against the 10 nations that lie in and around Israel. And notice in this cycle of judgment that God will impose upon these 10 nations that the series of judgments begins from east, starting with Babylon in chapters 13 through 14, and ends in the west with Tyre in chapter 23. Again, Isaiah calls this a burden. Sound familiar? The Hebrew word is masa. We've mentioned this before in the 9 other oracles of judgment leading up to Isaiah 23 and Tyre. The series of masa, or oracle burdens of judgment, began in Isaiah 13, pinpointing the defeat of the great political power of Babylon. And they end by describing the incorrigible fall of the great economic power, Tyre. These nations are not just symbolic representative cities. They are real nations at the time of Isaiah, that God will judge for their sins. God's destruction of all these nations, including the great maritime power, Tyre, clearly demonstrates God's sovereignty over every land and people in relationship to His people. And as I said before in here, when considering Isaiah chapters 13 through 23 in these 10 nations, God judges basically on two standards. One, in this age, He will judge whether one believes and trusts in Jesus Christ or not. And secondly, He will judge the individual or nation based upon their treatment of Israel. Because the Abrahamic covenant is an eternal covenant. Once God gave it to Abraham and said, "I will bless those who bless you, I will bless those who bless you and curse those who curse you," that covenant stands and is in full force, even when Israel is apparently in disfavor with God for their unbelief towards the Messiah. It still stands. So those who treat the Jews with honor, gratitude, and help them will be blessed by God. Those who seek to harm and destroy them will be destroyed. That was true in Isaiah's day, and it's true today. So America must always find itself siding with Israel. Now, that doesn't mean that we say the Jewish state in Israel is infallible. It's not a blind love like some of those in the church and outside the church who don't like Israel accuse us of. Israel has plenty of faults. They are like us. They are human beings. Therefore, they're sinful. But we defend and stand up for Israel because that is God's creation, and it is the people whom He has called to give salvation to the world through the Savior Jesus Christ. And so Tyre was now under the searing microscope of God's judgment. The focus of His wrath is now pinpointed on them in Isaiah 23. As with the previous nations, Isaiah integrates the work of God with the nation of Tyre into the universal plan God has for all nations by consistently working to humble the proud and haughty among the Goyim, to make them turn from their false idol gods and to see and know the power of the God of Israel, who with His outstretched arm will control and rule over the nations through His judgments, which will shake and cause these nations to tremble. Isaiah 13, 13, 14, 16, and verse 11 of Isaiah 23 illustrates this. And so for Tyre it was time, and for all the nations throughout this section of judgment on the ten nations, it was time for them to repent, to wail, because God's hand of judgment is about to fall on them and here with Tyre. Isaiah then directs his final burden or oracle of judgment, God's judgment, against Tyre. All of the nations that chapters 13 through 23 of Isaiah mention, the situation of Tyre is, I think, probably the most saddest, because they had existed longer than most of these other nations. And they were granted much more time then to turn to the Lord. And they were given witness to the power and the existence of the one true God of Israel through alliances with King David and later King Solomon, who also received building materials to build the temple from Tyre in Phoenicia. Yet despite these relationships with the covenant people of God, Israel, the Phoenicians of Tyre had not come to worship Israel's God. This was best seen in the marriage between King Ahab and Jezebel, who tried to impose her people's worship of Baal and Ashtaroth in Israel, as we are informed by the writer in 1 Kings 18:19. The Phoenicians were going to be judged for their pride. But not only for their pride in failing to acknowledge God and in being impressed with themselves and only in themselves, but also for the fact that they would turn against Israel. They would take from the treasury in Jerusalem, they would steal the silver and gold and place them in their own pagan temples, as Joel 3, 4 and 6 and Amos 1, 9 and 10 tell us. Not only that, they were to sell the Jewish people into slavery for these three reasons: pride, greed, and stealing the treasures out of the temple, and for selling the Jewish people into slavery. For these three reasons, the Lord now pronounces judgment on Tyre, one of the two major Phoenician cities and representative of that nation. And don't forget that in Ezekiel chapters 26 and 28, the Phoenician cities of Tyre, Sidon, are also going to be judged, along with the king of Tyre, who we are told in Ezekiel 28 is likened to Satan himself because of his great pride in thinking he was a god. So when you call the panoply of the Old Testament prophets and bring them together concerning what they have to say about Tyre, this gives you then a composite and complete picture for why God was finally going to bring His judgment on the city of Tyre. And in verses 1 through 3, we have the burden of Tyre announced. God says here, "Wail, you ships of Tarshish, for it is laid waste, so that there is no house, no harbor. From the land of Cyprus it is revealed to them. Be still, you inhabitants of the coastland, you merchants of Sidon, whom those who crossed the sea have filled. And on great waters the grain of Shehor, the harvest of the river, is her revenue, and she is a marketplace for the nations." So here Isaiah in these three verses to begin chapter 23, Isaiah announces a burden, a masa, concerning Tyre. And he gives this poetic depiction of the ships of Tarshish wailing over the destruction of their home port. As the ships sail home, they hear that the houses in Tyre have been laid waste, devastated, and the port obstructed, and there is no entering in. The news of Tyre's fall has come to the sailors in the land of Cyprus, the island nation, about 120 miles west of Tyre in the Mediterranean. So we see here, from the opening of Isaiah 23, when the hand of God's heavy judgment was going to crush Tyre, deep sorrow and agony would grip all the maritime nations surrounding the Mediterranean Sea who trafficked and traded with Tyre. Due to its ideal harbor, Tyre had become a great trade center for all these countries. The city was a commercial capital, the hub for all shipping trade throughout the Mediterranean world. And so when Tyre would fall under the judgment of God, consequently the economy of all these nations would suffer drastically or even collapse, since trade with Tyre would be cut off at her destruction. And that trade would be cut off when God's catastrophic hand of judgment fell. And it would have great repercussions to the nations surrounding the Mediterranean Sea. We are told the sailors are the ships of Tarshish, which is in modern-day Spain. They would wail in sorrow for the great seaport of Tyre because it was going to be completely destroyed. And once this happened, not a single house would be left standing, and the harbor would be so devastated that no ship would be able to dock in the port. The economy of Cyprus would especially be hurt. It was an island totally dependent upon products shipped in from the mainland, particularly from Phoenicia and Tyre. Cyprus would be the first nation to feel the impact of Tyre's destruction. Isaiah said that word of Tyre's fall would reach the sailors and the seamen coming from the land of Cyprus. These sailors would bring the news with them when they docked in Cyprus, and then the sailors who shipped out from Cyprus would carry the news of Tyre's destruction to all other Mediterranean countries. This was a tragedy of well, obviously biblical proportions in the ancient world. It would ruin and wreck the economy of that whole influential and significant area, affecting every major city in Syria, in Phoenicia, in Israel, in Philistia, I can name them off, Egypt, and the colonies in Carthage and Tarsus and so forth. God knows how to get your attention, a nation's attention, and He usually starts with their economy. Sound familiar? Why? Because people look. The first thing they look to is their assets, whether it's money or tradable items and so forth, because that's the means by which they live and sustain themselves. And so their livelihood would be taken from them. When news of Tyre's collapse reached these countries, the usual loud noise heard in a port, all the hustle and bustle of doing business would then become silent. God tells them to be still, you inhabitants of the coastland, at the destruction of Tyre. There would be no loading or unloading of ships to and from Tyre. Shipping economies would be utterly devastated throughout Central and Southern Europe, but also in the Middle East. All business that flowed from the international seaport of Tyre would come to a grinding halt, a solemn standstill. And this was going to happen as God instructed it would. And it happened over a period of about 400 years. Starting with the Assyrian king, Sargon, and then Shalmaneser V, followed by the invasion and siege of King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon, and ending with the devastation Alexander the Great was to bring to Tyre on the mainland and the island city of Tyre in 332 BC. So this prophecy was gradually fulfilled through this 400 period from the day of Isaiah until Alexander the Great, when Tyre was finally and fully destroyed, never to rise again. If you look at all these nations, these 10 nations God is going to judge in Isaiah chapters 13 through 23, none of them exist with the exception of Judah. Where are the ancient Edomites? Where is the nation of Edomite? Where is the nation of Babylon? Where is the nation of Pharaonic or Egypt? That is Egypt with the pharaohs. Where is Phoenicia? Where Tyre, the city, was located? They're gone. I will bless those who bless you and curse those who curse you. Now, when the scripture says that God was going to judge Tyre for their pride, that kind of sounds like, man, God is really overstating His case here. We all struggle with pride. Well, let me remind you, and I think we need to go to these two scriptures, just how insidious and harmful Tyre was to God, God's people. In Amos 1:9, we read, "Thus says the Lord, for three transgressions of Tyre and for four, I will not turn away its punishment, because they delivered up the whole captivity to Edom." They the captivity of Israel. And Judah. They helped in depopulating Israel when Assyria and Babylon came in their respective times to take captive the Jewish people and remove them from their land. The Phoenicians from Tyre helped do that. And not only that, the prophet Amos goes on, and they did not remember the covenant of brotherhood. Probably alluding back to the agreement that the Phoenicians, who were considered, I believe, by some historians to be a Semitic people, therefore they were genetically related to the Jewish people, they did not remember the agreement they made with King David and King Solomon. Verse 10, but I will send a fire upon the wall of Tyre, which shall devour its palaces. And that's literally what Alexander the Great did, which Ezekiel, in chapters 26 through 28, gives a detailed prophecy about the siege and the sack of the island city Tyre, which was fulfilled to the letter by Alexander the Great. And then we go to the prophet Joel. The prophet Joel also speaks about what Tyre did to the nation of Israel. Prophet Joel. And let me see if I can find it here. Joel 3, 4, and 6. Indeed, what have you to do with me, O Tyre and Sidon? Those are the chief cities of the Phoenicians, who were considered Canaanites and Philistines, by the way. Indeed, what have you to do with me, O Tyre and Sidon, and all the coasts of Philistia? Will you retaliate against me? God is speaking here to them. But if you retaliate against me, swiftly and speedily I will return your retaliation upon your own head. Why? Verse 5, because you have taken my silver and my gold and have carried into your temples my prized possessions. And also the people of Judah and the people of Jerusalem you have sold to the Greeks. So this is the pride of Tyre, and their sin in doing these things hopefully will fill in the picture for you why God's judgment was merited and therefore called for against the wicked inhabitants of Tyre. And so God was warning this great maritime civilization to repent. And not only them, God calls all the people, all the maritime colonies established by Tyre, and all the nations in the Mediterranean Sea basin. He was calling them also to lament because of the imminent destruction that was going to fall on Tyre and Sidon. The word Tyre in Hebrew, by the way, is Tsor, which means rock. Because one part of the city was built on a large rock in the Mediterranean Sea that created an island. So, remember that Tyre represents the Phoenician people, with Tyre and Sidon being the two main commercial centers for business and shipping. And so, the judgment on Tyre and Sidon was really God's judgment on the Phoenician people, the Empire of Phoenicia. So, this is a call to lament. A call for the sailors traveling on their ships of trade throughout the Mediterranean world to lament for the destruction that God has decreed upon Tyre. And these are commands. Wail, that's an imperative in the Hebrew. Be still, another imperative. And God says here that not only will Cyprus and certain inhabitants of the Mediterranean coastland Not only will they wail and have great lament over the destruction of Tyre, but this will even affect the grain shipments from Egypt, from the region of Shechor, in verse 3. In verse 3. Where is Shechor? Well, the word Shechor in Hebrew is Shechor, and it literally means black. And Bible scholars believe it refers to the black dirt carried by the Nile and by extension to the river itself. Joshua 13:3 suggests that Shechor or Shechor was on the eastern side of the delta near the ancient Egyptian city of Pelusium. If this is so, we could possibly identify Shechor with the Pelusiac arm of the Nile in the eastern delta, where there was a great source for raising grain. And from those harvests, the ships came and brought that grain to all the ancient seaports of the Mediterranean world. And no doubt the Egyptians from Shechor made a great fortune from this maritime trade with Tyre and all the other cities. Their business would become bankrupt. It would collapse once Tyre's destruction was to occur. It was going to have a domino effect, affecting every area of the economy of the ancient Near East. God was going to get their attention one way or another. He could not get it by making a merciful plea for them to repent. And so now, because they sinned against Him and spitefully treated His people, He was going and broke faith with those people. He was going now to bring His arm to bear on them. In verses 4 through 6, God calls the inhabitants of Sidon and their twin city Tyre to be ashamed for their sins. Be ashamed, O Sidon, for the sea has spoken, the strength of the sea, saying, I do not labor nor bring forth children, neither do I rear young men nor bring up virgins. When the report reaches Egypt, they also will be in agony at the report of Tyre. Cross over to Tarshish, wail, you inhabitants of the coastland. Is this your joyous city, whose antiquity is from ancient days, whose feet carried her far off to dwell? So the Phoenicians should be ashamed at Tyre's fall, and resulting in the fact that they would have, Tyre would suffer the loss of her children, her young men, and her virgins who could not get married and propagate and perpetuate the city of Tyre. Now the fact God is saying the sea will not, He's saying here that the sea will not travail, bring forth, nourish, and so forth, really means what He's saying here is a poetic way of saying that Tyre will be annihilated. There will be no survivors. No one to carry on the people of Tyre. They will be utterly destroyed and rendered extinct. It will be as though the sea never had had the Phoenicians as children to sail her waters. And as the report concerning Tyre's annihilation would reach Egypt, upon hearing Tyre's fall, the Egyptians will grieve in agony at the report. No doubt because not so much of the people, but because of the loss of trade, and with that the great wealth that was to be made and was made from it. And the only place the Phoenicians could find escape was the farthest farthest place on their navigation circuit, and that was Tarshish, which is in Spain. Even they, the people from Tarshish who live in that remote place, will weep over the city's fall. The Phoenician people were commanded by God to express shame and embarrassment over this judgment because they would lose all their prideful honor and boasted glory. And it would be a total humiliation, leaving the Phoenician cities of Tyre and Sidon childless. Mothers from those cities would no longer give birth to new cities, no longer nurture these colonies, and will have no descendant cities still alive. This prophecy of total decimation concerning Phoenicia would then leave her without her commerce partners of the sea. And for that, the Egyptians would be in great anguish because their wealth, which so heavily depended on the Phoenician ships to transport their goods and their grain throughout the Mediterranean world, would suddenly stop and cease and be no more. Although many will attempt to escape here, we are told by Isaiah, they will fall under the destruction of God's judgment. Once this city was full of riches, excitement, great splendor, and recreational wealth and frivolity, it was going to suffer total and complete extinction. And it would affect the ancient Near East to its very core. Again, Isaiah forewarns the Egyptians in verses 4 through 7, as well as the people of Judah and the world. Tyre's destruction would cause economic devastation. Egypt would especially feel this, and because of that would experience great agony, as it was going to have a great catastrophic impact upon its economy. And yet, God in His judgment gives the Phoenicians an opportunity to flee and escape from such a judgment. He tells them they can possibly find refuge in the city, in the land of Tarshish. The city of joy, revelry, and great pride and wealth was soon to be destroyed. And Isaiah says this city that would be destroyed existed from antiquity, from ancient days. Keep in mind again that in Isaiah's day, the city of Tyre was already 2,000 years old. And sadly, down through the long centuries of its existence, the citizens of Tyre did not turn to the Lord. When they had the opportunity and were brought into a special relationship to know Him through their earlier relationships with King David and King Solomon, who both no doubt told them about the great and mighty God of Israel, whom they personally saw and encountered. Instead of inquiring more about the God of Israel and believing upon Him, Tyre had defied and rebelled against Him and mistreated His people, profiting from their slavery. Now, after 2,000 years, the city of antiquity, the city of ancient days in Isaiah's day, was about to suffer God's terrifying judgment. Thus, the prophet gave the wisest advice to any who would hear living in Tyre: flee from the wrath of God. And I end this message by saying to those who hear this message, flee from the wrath of God that is on you and is yet to come. How do you do that? You flee to the cross, where God's wrath was taken for you because it was spent upon the righteous substitute who loves you, God the Son, Jesus Christ. There, God makes a way of escape from the wrath to come, as He offered the inhabitants of Tyre. They were to escape and go to Tarshish, the farthest place at that time toward the west. Did they do it? No, they didn't. They didn't heed the word of God to escape the wrath that was coming upon them, their city, and the Phoenician civilization. And today the sinner is exhorted, flee the wrath of God that's on you and that is going to come, by going to your surety and substitute who died in your place and bore the full eternal wrath of God on Himself when He hung on the cross. That is our... That's a greater refuge and a greater way of escape than a physical place called Tarshish. And so, there are many people who like the proud, wealthy and materialistic inhabitants of Tyre, ignore God's warning of judgment, ignore His appeal to come to Him and be saved, and they, like them, will be destroyed unless they find refuge, unless they flee to the judge and find Him to be the merciful Savior that He will be to those who come to Him and trust Him.